Blog Talk Radio.
For me,
I want that off the
board.
And I think I need to get back to the base.
Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Excuse me.
Good evening, grown and sexy worldwide. Welcome to Amongst Friends. This is the show that talks about love, life, relationships, and everything else under the sun. I am your willing host. Don't mean to brag or boast. They call me Jeff. We are in the house tonight to bring you a lovely show. We have with us tonight, we have my boy Q.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on?
All right. We have the lovely Heather with us as well.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here.
And then we got the Dark Wonder himself, Brother Joey.
What's going on, y'all?
Joe Skrilla.
Yeah. Now, for all of our listeners tonight, same rules apply as every night. If you want to join us, you can listen in on the call, 760-683-2662. If you got questions or comments, hit that 1, and we'll pull you on in, let you have your say. If you want to listen to us online, you can hit us up at www.blogtalkradio.com. Is it / or / I always get those confused.
Forward slash,
thank you. /
no
amongst
problem.
Friends. You can listen to us online while you're cooking dinner, shaving your legs for your Wednesday night adventure. It's hump day. Get it in.
Got to have a nice clean.
our topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is basically what to do when you do not get along with your mother-in-law, father-in-law, the in-laws. Now, for us married folk out there, I know y'all got some stories, good, bad, ugly. You know, call on in, let us hear those. We'd love to hear from you. I'll jump into it with a statement for myself. I'm a married man. Been doing this married thing 8 years, loving life right now. And my mother-in-law, God bless her, she is a trip, stone cold trip. I get situations where other family members roll their eyes when this woman steps into the room. They really don't want to converse with her half the time. It's like, oh, my God, what are we about to get ourselves into? But I tell you, she loves herself some Jeff. I love me some mama-in-law. And it's all gravy. And I guess it's because I might have built up some type of tolerance to her, or I just know how to handle her in certain situations when she let loose her crazy. So I guess for me, you know, in dealing with, you know, the mother-in-law, I haven't had any bad situations. I had little crazy ones, but not any bad ones. But I know there's some horrific stories out there. So I want to dive into this. First off, with my brother Joe. Joe, he's the newlywed of the crew. Is mom and dad-in-law down for you, or what's the deal there?
You know what? I was lucky and blessed to have great in-laws. I don't even call them my in-laws. I call them mom and dad. They actually have been very supportive of my relationship with my wife. They been, like, helpful and instrumental. They, you know, like, even with helping us pay for our wedding, you know, pay for our honeymoon, like, family visits. Like, they just been awesome. I think that was probably one of the many fears of getting married was whether or not I was going to get along with my in-laws. But
mm-hmm.
I am definitely blessed to say that I get along with my in-laws very, very well, and vice versa. Like, my mother and father love my wife. And knock on wood, we won't have any problems.
All right. So, let me turn it over to Q.
Why are you laughing?
Because you just laid out a little tidbit of information before we got started with the show, bruh. So I'm just, like, wondering, like, what are your past experiences been like?
Okay, first of all, you know, do away with the giggle. I mean, geez. You know what? My in-laws, because I've been down that road twice, my in-laws were basically like Joe. They were cool. We got along. We hung out together. I mean, we did the whole kit caboodle, you know, when it was cookouts. When I got married the first time, my in-laws were in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
So we did, you know, the 2-hour trip to Philly. You know, we had fun, cooked out. When they came down, you know, it was all about fun. My second mother-in-law was cool. We got along fine. The problem I went through was with my oldest son's grandmother.
Okay.
Everything was cool. Everything was fine. When my oldest son, we were in college, so... And I wanted to, I wanted to take some time off
mm-hmm.
to, you know, raise my kid, try to be a father. But, you know, his grandmother was like, you know what, go back to school, do your thing, the kid will be all right. Okay, I go back to school to continue my education. When I went back to visit my son, who was like 3 or 4 months old, the whole situation changed. I went from a good kid to a no good N-word. And I was like, well, where did all this come from? Where did all this, how did I get to be in the doghouse? I didn't do anything. I did what you told me to do, go back to school. But I got labeled as an MF for whatever reason. And to this day, I still don't know why.
Wow.
So, I don't know why. I don't know why. And to this day, I haven't said anything to her. And it's been like 27 years. I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
Dang, we're going to find you a Hallmark card or something and start that conversation so y'all can get back right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
come on,
dude,
man.
It's that time.
That's a tearjerker event right there. That's, remember back in the day when Hallmark had mahogany cards, you know, joints those for us black folk? That would deserve a nice mahogany card moment right there.
How to go from a good dude to an MF? Can I say nothing. I'm not gonna say the word, I'm sorry. respect to Heather.
Oh my goodness. So Heather, let me ask you a question. In your thoughts, in the thoughts that you've had about getting married, has anybody ever thrown out, you know, the you know, that old saying that remember now, you're marrying him and not his family. Has anybody ever thrown that out to you? Are you with us?
Where's Heather? Heather was here just a few seconds ago. Oh, my goodness.
She probably went to the bathroom.
She probably had to go.
Okay, so let me slide over to the Texan, Deidre Half Star over there in Texas. So Deidre, let me ask you. Did you have a good relationship with your in-laws?
Well, my goodness,
I already know the answer.
Yes and no.
Okay. Was it a situation that was good and then it turned bad, or?
No. What it was she smiled in my face.
Oh.
I don't let her get on that phone. My ex-mother-in-law. I mean, you know, she was an older lady. But it was, you know, she was used to telling my ex-husband what he needed to do and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, so when I met her for the first time, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, it's great, it's wonderful, and all of that kind of stuff. And then when I had to come home or we would have some arguments, and I'd be like, dude, where is this coming from? Well, my mom said, yeah, is your mom the mind of business, yo? And so, you know, for the first year or so, like, me and her was, like, having to really deal with it. It was like a battle. It would be like she would tell him stuff, and then she'd be like, now, don't tell your wife.
What?
But I don't
really
do X, Y, Z. So then I had to call her and be like, okay, look, Ma, this is what's going to go down. So he's married now, and I can't have you causing no kinds of arguments with my household. So we're going to have to work something out. And
wow.
So after that little conversation, we were good. But then when I was divorcing him, yeah, she told me I was going to hell. And we're just going to leave it at that.
Wow. So did you – I got a question for Deidre. Of course you talked to your husband about it. And so two questions. Was he on your side? That was the first question. And second, do you think your husband was, quote-unquote, weak because he didn't, well, I don't know if he addressed it to his parents, but did you consider him as weak because maybe if he didn't address it?
No, he addressed it, but his mother was very strong-willed. And, you know, like, she'd play it off, everything will be fine, and then when she would get upset with him or he didn't do what she wanted him to do, then it would be, you letting that girl tell you what to do and all this kind of stuff, and we've always been your family. And I was like, yo, your mom tripping.
Where's the father in all this? Or was he around?
He was not around.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
That right there, that might be a recipe for in-law fuckery. That's what I'm going to call it right there.
In-law fuckery?
in-law. Because at that point, there's something wrong. There was something in the wiring of that relationship earlier on that is now manifesting itself that way. That right there.
There was no man there. There was no man there to tell her to shut up. That's what it was.
Or maybe even just to say, oh, now, baby, go on and let them young people live their lives, stay on out that mess. Come on now. That's their life. They got to live that. Come on.
If he's sounding like that, then he's a sucker too.
Well, you know, I'm talking about, that's my old Papa Joe voice.
That's your old Papa Joe?
That's old Papa. It's wise, and it's why it didn't learn some things, so it's kind of slowed down, so you can take it in, learn from it, and use it. That's right, old Papa Joe. So let me see if I can slide back to Heather. Have you still come to me? Okay. So my question to you was, in your situations of seeing yourself, you know, you're growing up, you're coming of age to where you could possibly get married and have a family and all this stuff, has anybody ever thrown that saying out to you that, remember now, you're marrying him and not the family?
Well, you know that I'm not married, right?
Yes, but I'm just saying, has anybody
really?
Ever thrown that? What? Wow.
See, now when I go into that, we're going to have a very interesting conversation tonight.
I love you.
No, but I'm saying, like, in your conversations with, you know, with your family and with your friends, and they ask you, and they might know that, you know, marriage is on your mind, that you want to be married or something like that. Has anybody ever just thrown that out there, like, in that type of conversation?
Yeah. I think people say it all the time, but the truth is, regardless of how the family acts, you are marrying the family because the person is a product of that family.
Okay. Okay.
And a lot of their behaviors and ways, attitudes, thoughts and things are based on their experiences growing up as a part of that family. And I think you do yourself a disservice not to try to endear yourself to them, not, you know, like to a fault, but to try to mesh the two worlds together, because in the end, it will be very difficult for someone. I mean, people do it, and they have good reasons to do it, to walk away from their family and really forsake their family. But you don't want to put yourself in that position.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like my son's father, when I first started dating him, he was very distant from his family and relatively still is. But at best, he deals with his father and not his mother.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in life, I mean, I'm very amicable to both sides. I'm probably more partial. People who know me know that I probably am far more partial to Grandpa and being with him and around him and that side of the family. Mm-hmm. But I also communicate with his mom, but I understand the difficulty in how she is. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Avery is 13 now. In 13 years, he's never spent the night with his grandmother. He's never gone anywhere with her by himself. He's never gone to her house by himself. Never in 13 years. Whereas his grandfather and that side of the family, until he was probably in the first grade, he spent two nights a week with Grandpa. Till he was in the seventh grade, Grandpa picked him up and took him to school every day and made his lunch. If I lived close to him in D.C., when I moved further out in Maryland,
like Grandpa is, we see him at least once a week. Whenever Avery's out of school, he's with him. You know, he takes him on trips with him. He's going with him to L.A. in July. Like, that's their relationship. So it's like a very mirrored difference. So I understand why his father now, like back then I didn't, and tried to force, you know, that's your mother. How you live in the same city and state with your mother and y'all don't talk, you know, that kind of thing. But I understand it.
Okay. Okay. So I wanna move us along in this conversation to some valleys and peaks, if you will. But for our listeners out there, 760-683-2662, call us up. If you've got questions, comments, hit that one. We'll get you on the show, let you speak your piece. So, Joey, going back to you, bruh, I want to ask this question. So when you were, you know, courting your wife, dating your wife, she's your fiance, there's a family dynamic on her side. You're meeting them, you're conversating with them, you're breaking bread with them. Did you ever have this situation to where you had the feeling once you got married that you married in and you being married in was, how can I say this, I guess a lighter part of the family, of the blood family, meaning when it comes time for family issues to pop up, do you feel okay with speaking your piece about it and those other family members, or do you just play it back because you know you married in and it could get kind of treacherous if you, the husband, speak about family situations?
Okay, so let me see if I'm getting the question right.
Okay.
You're asking if, like, in my wife's family, if problems came up, do I feel comfortable enough, like, speaking
yeah.
about it or speaking up, or do I have a voice?
Well, both. Do you feel you have a voice, and with that
okay.
voice, do you feel comfortable in using it?
Well, I guess I said my wife's family is really laid back.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of really, they deal with issues and problems a lot differently than how, like, my family deals with them. My family is very kind of outspoken and opinionated. And, you know, we kind of deal with things, like, head-on at the forefront, and that works for us. My wife's family, they're more laid back. They're more like, you know, if it's an issue, let's talk about it, you know, but let's come from it from a positive standpoint. You know, we don't have to do a whole bunch of arguing. We don't have to do a whole bunch of going back and forth. You know, either they're going to deal with it or they're not, kind of thing. Like, and they're not going to dwell on it too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting. Like, they really do, and not that the way my family does things is bad or wrong. It's just I've just seen a different approach, especially not just with their immediate family, but even with, like, family, cousins, aunts, uncles. Like, they don't always approach situations. You know, my family, we always approach situations. Like, there's never a time where we don't say anything. And I'm learning since being married to my wife, like, you know, everything doesn't have to be spoken to or every situation doesn't have to be dealt with head on. Sometimes you can just sit back, see how a situation is going to play out, which is kind of hard for me to do because, again, I'm a head-on type of person. But to answer your question, I do feel like I have a voice, especially in our immediate family, you know, and just briefly sharing, like, my dad or my wife's father, he just recently has been going through some health issues, and, you know, I had to make, you know, this was a very challenging time for my wife and her family because they don't all live together. Like my sister, I have a sister who lives in Norway. I have another sister who lives in New York. And then my wife is here in Maryland, and their father is in New York. And, you know, we had to make some decisions because they was fearful that he was not going to make it. You know, and it was like 11, 12 at night, and my wife is just distraught, and she's just like, I got to get up there to see my dad. And, you know, here I am. I'm like, look, I understand, but it's late. You're emotionally unraveled. Like, I don't think you should be traveling. But, you know, just making that decision to support her decision to go up there to be with her dad, and then actually calling her sisters and being like, you know, hey, she's on her way. Hey, we need to make this decision. Hey, buy a ticket. You know, I was able to be a part of all of the decision making, and it was empowering, but it also just felt good that they trusted me, you know, and my wife and I are just 7 months in, but they trusted me to, you know, participate and be a part of making health decisions for their father and essentially my father. And, you know, it kind of just solidified that, you know, although we're married, you know, I do feel like family even outside of just the realm of being married to my wife. Like, I felt like a son. I felt like a brother to my sister-in-law. Like, I felt very much a part. And so I do feel like I have a voice. But my brother-in-laws and I, we often joke that our wives are very scary and strong-willed when they want to be. And so it was very interesting to see that out of the three brother-in-laws, I'm the one that speaks up the most. I'm the one that always has something to say. And that part's funny. They're always just looking at me. My brother-in-law is always looking at me like, you just said that to them. Do you want to, you know, and I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? So, yeah, I do feel like I have a voice. And I definitely feel a part of the family.
Okay.
Jesse's a newlywed.
Hmm?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that you was a newlywed, dude. Congrats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just jumped into that fire.
Amen, my brother. Do your thing.
And if Mrs. Snyder's listening, he meant the good fire when he said jump into that fire. He didn't mean that in a negative light. Okay, moving on.
I don't know what's there's positive and negative to fire.
Exactly, but you got to watch the color commentating, yo. You get yourself a whole lot of. I don't know how strong your voodoo bag is up under your pillow, but I don't want you to go that route, bro. So I asked that question to pull us into, you know, the couples that might have a problem erupt with in-laws after they've gotten married. Everything might be great for you to go ahead and jump the broom, you know, for you to propose, jump the broom, have the great honeymoon, but now you're in the marriage. This is where the work happens. This is where life unfolds. And problems could arise at this stage in the game because everybody knows that, you know, from where you start out to where you end up, there's a lot of changing There's a lot of living. There's a lot of moving and grooving. There's reacting and all of that. So people can rub people the wrong way. So I want to go back to Q. For your marriage, could you see problems arising with your in-laws, or was it just something that was just snuck up on you and all of a sudden you had a problem?
I could safely say that I never had a problem with my in-laws. Never.
Okay.
Never. When I guess the first time during my first marriage, when me and my wife at the time were having problems, they would help us out. You know, we would all have a talk. You know, husband, wife, mother-in-law, father-in-law. We all had a talk, and we talked about the problems that was going on. So, and I thank them for that, and we talked about that. But as for, you know, if there was conflict between me and my wife, my in-laws, that's with both my marriages, they stayed out of it and said, you know what, y'all work this out yourselves. We got nothing to do with this. We're only going to get involved if, you know, it comes to fisticuffs, which thank God I never did. But for the most part, nah, dude, not me.
Okay. Deidre? Deidre, did you have the interest to see stuff coming, or did it just blindside?
Chef, why you laughing? Why you laughing, dude?
She's interesting. So Deidre, did you have the foresight or no?
Yes, I knew. See, but I knew going in that it was going to be an issue because they didn't want him to leave California, and he came to Texas. So when we had our marriage, when we got married and the ceremony and all that kind of stuff, and we were trying to make sure everyone was coming and all of this kind of stuff, they kind of said, nah, we ain't coming.
Hold on, time out. Deidre.
What?
Did you just say he moved from California to Texas?
Yeah.
Damn.
What is the problem?
Q, come on now. He was about to get some. He's about to get some of that good Texas short rib. Of course he was going to move, right?
Yes.
Right, Deidre?
Yes. What is wrong?
Girl, look.
Right, Deidre?
From California to Texas. Come on, Nail.
What's the problem?
Oh, my God. He went through two time zones to get up with you. Damn.
You silly.
Damn. Girl, that's a good cookie there, boy. That's a good cookie though. Yes.
Only you would say something like that.
Hey, Jeff agreed with me.
Okay, and that says what exactly?
Damn.
Oh my goodness.
Damn.
So they did not approve because the dynamic of their lifestyle. Well, because he was living with his brother and his brother's fiance or girlfriend or whatever, and then when he moved, then that changed their situation. So they were not pleased at all. I mean, when I came around, they were cool and, you know, everything was great, but then I took him away.
Okay,
so
I got another question. I got another question.
What's the question, Q?
Okay. He was living in Cali, and you was in Texas at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did y'all two link up? Y'all did the internet thing, you know? Y'all did the phone call? Y'all did carrier pigeons? How did that work out?
Online thing.
Oh, online romance. Okay. So, okay. So he was living in Cali. You were living in Texas. You know, he was like, you know, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And, okay. And he flies to Texas to marry you. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, so DJ, you brought up something. So you brought up something when you said, you know, I guess the before situation made it rough going in and going through the wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you were waking up day one of the marriage, was there anything on your mind, game plan, blueprint? How are you going to navigate this relationship with the mother and the father-in-law? Or was that going through your mind?
Well, number one, there was no father-in-law, so we'll just leave that as it is.
Okay.
And like I said, you know, like when I met them and everything, like when I was in their presence, it was, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, this is yada, 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 so forth and so on. And then it was behind the scenes where it was, they ain't feeling it. And so when I would talk to them over the phone and stuff like that, you know, initially I wasn't thinking, you know, like, oh, we're going to have some major problems, so I need to make it work for us. It was, okay, we're in Texas. You know, they have relatives. You know, he has relatives here in Texas, or he had, well, not in Texas, but in Arkansas, and they hadn't seen each other in years. And so, you know, it was just different. It was me and him. We were ride or die, you know, making it work. I wasn't worried about whether or not everything was going to be okay or anything, because that, you know, that wasn't an issue initially. They didn't want him to come to Texas, but he came to Texas before we got married.
Okay. So you're presented with, you're married and you're presented with the cycle, the problem cycle. They smile in your face, they get on the phone, they talk bad about you. Hubby comes to you trying to get smooth things over, I guess, and talk to you about it to see if he can, I guess, force your hand, so to speak, into getting you to, I guess, change your ways, change your attitude, change your mindset so that it flows with the family. Once you see that happening, did you try to, I guess, get a game plan for yourself of how to navigate that situation, or was it just?
Yeah, we went to California and said, "Well, we made a trip to California, and it was like, okay, what's going on? What needs to happen?
So you called them out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one way of doing it.
I mean, what are we supposed to do? Put your foot around the situation? Come on, if there's an issue, let's talk about it so we can fix it. I ain't got time to be running around and trying to figure out. You was on the phone with your mama and she done said something. Now 2 days later, you walking around pissed off and I don't know why. No, let's go ahead and fix this. What's up?
Okay.
I like that.
I mean, and that's cool, you know, look for trauma to the situation. Yeah. That, I mean, like I said, that to me, that is a way of handling it. I knew one of my boys, he basically had a problem that started, you know, with his mother-in-law and father-in-law, and he basically took them to relationship rehab and left the wife at home and took mom's and pops and took them to go talk out their problems. And it worked for them. And I thought he was...
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get it done.
Yeah, but I thought at the time when he was telling me, he was like, I'm going to take him to therapy. I was like, what? No, that I don't even know how that sounds right. I couldn't
figure it out. He took in-laws to therapy.
Yes. I'm like, how are you going to get them to, because I'm gonna ask Joey for his synopsis on this, for him to solidify this for me. The first step is to admit there is a problem. Am I right with that, Joe? Does that sound good?
Oh, definitely. Sorry, it just takes a minute for me to unmute my phone. But I definitely feel like that admitting a problem is always the first step. Because if there's no acceptance to the problem, then you're just going to spend your whole time denying it. And then you deny it and you're defensive and no one solves anything when there's just a bunch of people going back and forth about what's not there and it really is there.
Right. So, yeah, he took them, like I said, he took them to relationship rehab and, you know, they hashed it out. And, I mean, the wife, I mean, she was very understanding. She knew that they were going. She had her reservations about it, you know, thinking that it might make, you know, the situation worse because, you know, I guess her parents weren't, you know, their thoughts on, you know, going to therapy is why pay an outsider if you can't talk to your family type situation. But they lent themselves to the situation and they got fixed. And like I said, I can realize that what Deidre did, her situation, like I said, the blunt force trauma to that relationship, like, boom, I'm here, you here, we got problems. We need to go talk about it. So we can do this over the dinner table. We can do this in the backyard with some gloves on. We can take it to the street. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? So we'd love to hear from our callers. Do you have a crazy situation with an in-law you'd like to share with us? Do call 760-683-2662. Hit that one, and we'll let you speak your piece. Anybody know of an in-law that hit on their son-in-law or daughter-in-law? That could definitely cause problems with the in-laws. And in this day. And in this day and age of...
Problems is an understatement. That's going to be serious. That's going to cause some furniture moving.
For real.
Man, that's a terrible situation right there.
That's a Jerry Springer moment.
Yeah. Especially if the mother's all hot.
I have a college buddy of mine. He was about to get married to a young lady, and it just so happened that he met his future mother-in-law, and everything was on the table. He knew who she was. She knew who he was. And he just happened to be her cup of tea when it came to a younger man. And the future mother-in-law felt that if you love my daughter and if you love my daughter and what she can do for you, I'm 10 times that. So let me put this on
you. Wow.
So let me put this on you, and then you make up your mind who you want to be with.
That's trifling. That's trifling. But was she fine?
Wow.
He did say that if it wasn't for the daughter being in the picture, he probably would have hit it. He probably would have hit it. Of course, the situation would have been different, and she would have just came at him as, you know, yo, what's up? You look good. Let me talk to you for a minute. But he just couldn't believe that the mom felt that she trumped her own daughter in that situation. And that, I mean, it cost for them not to get married because, of course, he knew that was just gonna wreck his fiance. The fact that her mom did that, and he's like, I can't even see how we could actually get married. And like, he's like, my fiance loves her mother; they have a close relationship. I don't see how, in any way, shape, or form, I can marry this woman, even if she was to like forgive her mother, and we still get married, for her to stay distant from her mom. If her mom came up for Thanksgiving, ain't no telling what's gonna go down.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas dinner. What? Unwrap this. What? No, I don't think that's even possible. So he didn't even. They parted ways.
Here's my mistletoe. Did he tell the fiance what mom was trying to do, or did he just like, you know what? I don't want to cause any more trouble. I'm just gonna like break it off. Which one did he do?
Yeah, he ran and told that. He ran and told that. And the funniest thing is, I went to homecoming. I saw the young lady. I'm saying hi to her. What's going on? How's the fam? Da, da, da. She says she's still mad at her mother. Now, she knows that I know the whole situation, so she lets me know that her mother actually said to her, he told me he was going to tell you, but I didn't believe him. I didn't think he was going to do it.
Wow. That's crazy, yo.
That's in her daughter's head. She's rolling around, rattling off in the back of her head about her mom. That's crazy.
Yo, that's like grounds to are they in the same like neighborhood or in the same city or whatever? Because I feel after that, if somebody had to leave town. Somebody would have to. You can't. That's. I don't know about y'all, but that's a keg of dynamite right there, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I want to put this question out there to everybody. In dealing with mother-in-law, father-in-law, if you have a situation or there's a dark cloud over that relationship between you, your mother-in-law, you, your father-in-law, whatever the case may be, what goes through your mind as to how to repair this relationship? How do you? We already mentioned that, and Joy solidified it. You know, the best thing, the first thing to do is to admit there is a problem. But then after you admit that there is a problem, either my mother-in-law doesn't like me no more, or, you know, my father-in-law is always, you know, got something to say when I say stuff to my wife or whatever the case may be. What are your different thoughts on how to repair that relationship?
I think, Jeff, I think, like, because a lot of times you'll find it's like the son-in-law and the father, the son-in-law and the father don't get along, and the daughter-in-law and the mother don't get along, or what have you. And sometimes you can find it both, vice versa, whatever. I think where you need to start, and I think where a lot of couples, married couples, get it wrong, or even engaged, or even dating, when there's conflict with your spouse's parent, you need to start with your spouse. You need to start with the person you're dating, engaged to, or married. You do not approach their mother or father first. Unless it's just, like, outright disrespect, like, right up in your face kind of thing, and they, like, point their finger in your face, cussing at you, whatever, that's different. You might need to address that head on. But if it's just one of those situations where they don't like you, or they snickering, or they say stuff behind your back, or whatever the case may be, the person you need to approach first is your spouse. And I think letting them kind of be the catalyst or the buffer to fixing that, because that's a very uncomfortable situation, especially if you're close with your parents. You know, that's a very uncomfortable situation where you feel like you have to choose between your spouse and between your parents. And, you know, church folk or overly spiritual folks will tell you, you got to choose your wife first, you got to choose your husband first, they come first. And to some extent, I agree with it, but on the other side of the fence, those are my parents or those are her parents. And I kind of feel like if we're married and you guys are my parents and you're their parents or what have you, you'll never make us choose. And that's kind of like the mindset that I kind of come from, and that I hope that my wife and my parents come from that standpoint, that they'll never put in a predicament where I have to choose. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to choose who keep me warm in the bed at night, but I don't want to have to. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to have to choose between my parents and my wife, or have my wife have to choose between me and her family. I need us to be adults. I need us to come to some, you know, to a conclusion where it's not that you better be on my side kind of thing, or this is war, choose your sides. You know, I don't want to be in that situation. But the people you approach needs to be your spouse first, and let them address their parent first. Then if it continues to be a problem, or like if y'all were saying, you know, they punk out or whatever, then it's, you know, time to take matters in your own hands, but still be, you know, as respectful as possible, I guess.
Okay. All right. So, Q, Deidre, Heather, what do y'all think is a good way to try and repair that relationship?
I think Joey is 100% dead on. Your spouse is your spouse. Mm-hmm. So, and when y'all got married, y'all promised to be a circle. So when one helps, you know, y'all supposed to have each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely agree with Joe. It's like, and you think about it, if you, it's all about making that home happy too. You know, if you're in a disagreement and you know you side, you know what? Even if your spouse did wrong, you still side with her. you still side with your spouse because it's all about making that home happy. Now, what you do once you get in the house, y'all close the door, y'all lock it, and then you say, you know what, you was wrong on this one. You were wrong. But in any disagreement, you know, you have to have your spouse's back at all times, in public, at all times, no matter if they're right or wrong. You have a back, or he has yours. That's it.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with that. I think you gotta stand together, but I think that as a spouse and dealing with in-laws, be it the parents, brothers and sisters, whatever, I think it is constantly your responsibility to try to mend fences. And whatever you have to do, however you have to extend yourself, you need to do that because you don't want to make your spouse have the burden of picking and choosing, trying to balance, trying to say the right thing to not make you feel uncomfortable around his family, not being able to go over each other, you know, not being able to be family the way family's supposed to be. And so sometimes that means swallowing some things and letting it be as it is. Like, you know, in my situation, I mean, they do call themselves in-laws, although we never were married. But the first thing, Avery's birthday, you know, everybody came over, and literally, I wasn't here. I was at the gym, and I called to say to him, you know, everything straight, Nana, my mom, get there, whatever. And he says to me, Grandpa and great-grandma are here, and my other grandmother's outside. Should I let her in? Like,
wow.
So he don't want the conflict. He knows the conflict. And
mm-hmm.
She wasn't in here. I mean, I wasn't in here a whole 10 minutes before she went into, I mean, you let other people see my baby and I don't see. But you as grandmother, you can pick up the phone and call them. You can build that relationship. But I always invite, I always include, no matter how painful. How painful.
Wow.
I had to say that one more time for myself.
Okay.
I always invite and always include. And so I think that's, yeah, your responsibility as a spouse.
Oh. So, Deidre, is the blunt force trauma the only way that you see to mending the fence, to healing the wound when it comes to in-laws, or would you employ another tactic?
No, I would just do whatever works for, you know, the family. Okay.
Well, it's good to talk about problems. Everybody is always at ease in talking about problems, but to know that, you know, there are people with the mind to fix those problems, bringing solutions to or some type of avenue to fix stuff is almost new age sometimes. Especially when you know, like I said, it's just so easy to bring the issue and drop it off and let everybody deal with it. So that's cool. So I'm looking in our Facebook page, and Eva, you pose an interesting question. Why don't you raise it on the air?
What, you talking about, did anybody have to go through a pre-screening from the in-laws?
Yes. So, and Q, I see your response. But is that pre-screening something that can be used by somebody coming into a situation to know where you might, those, you know, there could be indicators in that pre-screen that you might have run-ins with your in-laws sometime in the future. And it might help you to get your mind right about how to maneuver the landmines that could set stuff off or get you to the point to where you are, you know, stockpiling ammunition so that when the conversation comes, you're ready to deal.
My first question is, what constitutes as pre-screening? Go ahead.
With my family, we have a lot of men folk. And so when the young ladies are considering boyfriends or what have you, you know, it's that whole sort of like the Will Smith and Martin Lawrence at the door. With the old boy talking about, you know, da-da-da-da-da, so forth and so on. That was literally kind of how our family is. But with me, I didn't bring any of my dudes around my family until I was confident, sure in the relationship. There was nothing that anybody could say. And so I told my mom I was getting married, and she was like, "What? Who is this dude? What are you talking about? Don't nobody know who he is. I need to talk to your brothers. We need to meet him." And so my cousin had just gotten married, and I was like, "Well, fine. I'll bring him to the reception." And so we get to the reception, and my ex-husband is this free-spirited dude, you know, like doesn't really have a care in the world. And so my cousins and my brother, and they're standing against the wall, you know, with their arms crossed, like, which one is he? Which one is he? Because they're thinking that he's going to be this 6'4" dude, you know, big burly, you know, whatever, whatever. And my husband was like 5'7". Real kind of dorky, whatever. And they was like, "That's him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to talk to him." And what was so funny was is that somebody turned on some music or whatever, and that dude jumped onto the dance floor and was like Carlton from Fresh Prince came out of him, and he was on the floor. And he didn't care what nobody was doing, what they were saying, and everybody, because our family is real big on joning and cracking jokes and stuff like that, and everybody was bawling, just laughing and carrying on. And because he went out there and did that, it was like, he's a part of the family. We ain't got to talk to him. We don't even care. I mean, of course, they talked to him and all this kind of stuff, but it was because he was so free in who he was that it didn't even matter. But initially going into the situation, I was like, now I don't care what they say because this is a dude that I'm going to marry. It is what it is. But there was still some kind of tension within me, like, oh, my gosh, what are they going to say? Do I need to prep him? Do I need to talk to him? You know, so if they say this, you know, just be yourself. And that's exactly what he did. He was himself. And to this day, that my family still loves my ex-husband, loves him.
Okay, all together now. 1, 2, 3. Oh.
But not that by Carlton, my goodness. He would have got snapped on.
Trust. He got snapped on. For the rest of, I mean, he still gets snapped on when people talk about how they first met him. So don't get it twisted. Oh, he got, yeah. It was hilarious.
Wow.
So, Bindi, you go for the smooth dancers, huh? The Pinkertones. this thing down, right?
She gonna put a soul train dancers.
Hey, I'm all about having fun. So do what you do.
Not when you burn a dude who dance like Carlton. Come on, Em.
Dude, that is a guarantee that I am gonna have something to laugh about all the time. All the time.
Lord have mercy. Lord,
you ain't gotta be no smooth dude. All you gotta do is be able to take care of home, keep this sister laughing. That's all that matters.
Okay. Lord.
All right. Okay. So now I wanna put this next question to Joey first. So I know that there's situations out there where we've all seen these couples where, you know, they have this love-hate relationship. These are people that you see who will argue. They will argue each other down in the street and still walk off holding hands. And they got rings on their finger. They've been married for umpteen years, and that's their thing. They argue, and it might be so that it makes the makeup sex better. Who knows? But they just have to argue. They have to fuss. They have to fight. So for relationships like that, or for people who always choose to keep the fire of argument, turmoil, conflict going with in-laws, if it works for you, is that a good way to be relationship-wise? You know, we can all come to a stalemate pretty much, where it's like, okay, we can agree to disagree, but to keep that fire going, that conflict going, is that good?
I mean, I think you made the question more difficult when you said if it works for the person,
mm-hmm.
because then that kind of, I mean. Because it's like, if it works for them, you know, who are we to say that it, you know, it don't work? But at the same time, I think some people think a lot of what really is, not what appears, but what really is unhealthy, you need to jump out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying if you arguing and fussing at each other, but is working for you, then I say go for it. But that's not really how to, I mean, I just don't see arguing and everything really being the way to, like, arguing on purpose just to make the sex better or the sex crazier. I really just don't see that as a, you know, a good way to do things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, kind of to go along with that, we got in our Facebook room, one of the members in our Facebook group says, you know, I cuss my
Thank you for calling Amongst Friends. Do you have a question or comment? Hello? Hello?
I don't think they got a question or comment.
Did you have it?
Yes.
Where?
I've been on his show.
What? We Sam, I don't wanna beef with you anymore. I just wanna, you know, if we have a disagreement, but it doesn't have to come to verbal blows where it's like you cussing me out, calling me out my name, stuff like that.
I didn't hear the first part of the question. I don't know if there was like some type of malfunction,
mm-hmm.
but I guess I missed like most of what you said, Jeff.
Okay, so the question that I asked Joe was, I know that there are couples out there that, you know, we hear about those couples that their thing is they fuss and fight all the time, but they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind leads me to believe that there might be some of those type of couples that when you know, if you fussing and fighting in that relationship, that when you get with your in-laws, you know, they say something to you, they pop off, and then you pop off back at them. It's a situation where you just keep that conflict going. You don't try to quiet the noise, so to speak.
Okay.
So I was just asking, can that constant conflict be good for your relationship with your in-laws? And then I said, if it works for you, and like Joey was saying, you know, it probably makes the question a little bit more difficult when you say if it works for you. So.
I don't know. I can't speak on it. I don't know. I guess if I'm in that situation or scenario, I could give a definite answer. But
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm on the outside looking in. I'm with Joe. I don't know if a relationship like that can survive. That's based nothing. If you use conflict to make the relationship work, that's goofy, right? And I don't know any relationship couples that I'm quite sure they are, but I don't know any couple that have it like that and can battle in-laws like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's a white people stuff. I don't know, dude.
Oh, all right. Well, it looks like we got a caller on the line. Joy, welcome to Amongst Friends. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
All right. What's your question or comment tonight?
Question. So I have a good relationship with my in-laws, but I know that their expectation about raising kids is different than my expectation of raising kids. How do you deal with in-laws once you start having kids and their parenting skills versus your own?
Ooh.
Can I ask you a question first? This
sure.
is Quentin. How are you? Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
What is their expectation and what is yours?
Well, it could just be different things altogether, like what the kids should eat, what the kids should wear, whether the kids should go to this type of school versus that type of school versus the kid going to church, not going to church. Just general type of things with raising a kid.
Okay. So I guess my opinion, you probably have to find some type of common ground because it seems like, you know, your in-laws, they have that old school way of thinking. And
right.
I guess for you, you have like the modern way of thinking. So
right.
I'm thinking there have to be some type of compromise and common ground. You know,
okay.
So like some of their ideas could put into work, and you know, some of your ideas could could work also.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, neither, my opinion, neither of you are wrong. It's just that, you know, old school values, you know, some, you know, old schoolers, they're not really, like, prone to, like, you know, the new school values, that the older values that you think should work. And that's your kid. You know better than anybody, you know, how to, what's the word I'm trying to get? What works for your child, you know. But, you know, your in-laws know too, because they have more experience. So, and they've pretty much seen it done it all. So I would think, you know, with you and your in-laws, just find some type of common ground and compromise and see if that works.
Okay, thanks.
No problem.
One of our chatters said that, first of all, the child is yours, not theirs. You have to instill your own values, not their values.
So I agree with that, but then you have the problem of the argument between the in-law and their kid over your kid. That's my issue.
Yeah. But you can't just do away with, you know, the values that your in-laws instill. You can't just, like, kick that to the curb, because there's some validity.
I agree. But their expectation is they don't want mine in it at all. They prefer I follow what they think is best because they've done it already.
Oh, then, well, you just have to say, you know, I understand, but, you know, I know my son better than anybody else, and I know what works. Do it respectfully, you know, just don't tee off on him. You don't want to cause a conflict there, but
right.
Just say, you know what, yeah, you're right. Okay, you know, and just still do your thing. You know, I think in some cases the in-laws just want some acknowledgement, you know, for their concerns. And once you say, yeah, okay, fine, you know, they'll probably be a little bit more happy than what they were from the beginning.
So we have Tony on the line from Maryland who wants to respond. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of these situations. I've been married for 20 years, and my daughter's 16. So my mother-in-law, I mean, there's things that they don't like, you know, how we raise our daughter and things of that nature. But, you know, I said before, you know, it's kind of up to you to instill some type of values in your child. Because your child is with you daily, not the grandparent, not the in-law. They're with you. They're with the mother and father. And that's where your value system is going to come from anyway. In-laws had their opportunity to raise their children. Now, they can support them in the decisions that they're making, and they can also provide some type of advice. You have to be an adult to understand what constructive advice is. And then you have to be able to decipher control. And, you know, I don't want you to be able to control what's going on in your household. I mean, you got married. And once you got married to their child, they relinquished that control and responsibility over that child again. So
oh,
I just can't,
only it was so simple.
Say again?
I said, oh, if it were only that simple.
But it is that simple. Because when you moved into a relationship, when you accepted that person and you went to church and you sat in that room for 17 hours of labor, these are the decisions that you now have control over.
Yeah, but I can see the situation of if you have those strong-willed, strong-minded in-laws at every given turn, I think that they will try to not wreck the train that you put your child on as far as rearing that child, but they won't care so much that the education coming from their side of the street contradicts mom and dad.
I mean, I understand that, but you have to understand this too. I was a child once, and I got whipped. I got whipped with belts, extension cords, and things of that nature. Do I want my child to be under the same umbrella as the parent that raised me that I didn't even agree with? So you have to be able to make these decisions as a parent when it comes to, you know, how you're going to discipline your child and how you're going to educate your child. You know, again, there's constructive criticism and then there's control and power. And you have to be able to be an adult to decipher the two. But you know when somebody's pushing their values on you. You just have to be respectful and say, look, you know, this, I respect your opinion, but this is how we're going to raise our child.
I could see that. But there's some situations, like, it's easier said than done. I mean, the solution is there, but there are some situations that it's just not that easy.
Yeah, it sounds like if you are persistent and that outside educational force, we'll put it that way, is persistent as well, it's one of those horses that you're gonna have to beat to death over and over and over again.
I don't think you have to beat that over and over again, though. I mean, you're the one that's married. You're the one going to have to lay with your spouse. You're the one going to have to go through, you know, the ups and downs with your spouse. That is not your parent.
Right.
But, Tony, what you also have to take into consideration is that there are instances where the grandson and the grandparent shared time together.
That's right.
So, and at that time, you know, the grandparents could be, you know, not forcing their views, but showing the way they think to the grandson.
You have to decipher what actual advice and criticism is. You, as an adult, you have to be able to understand that. But again, you have that old school way of, some of these people have old school ways of saying, I'm telling you to do this. And you have to be strong enough in your household to say, I'm talking to you because I got a mama that has zero cut cards. So I know she go hard in the paint when she talk about, you know, putting her values on the table and she want people to listen to them. I got to pull my mother back sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I treat my mother-in-law has a very strong personality, but she didn't raise me. I respect her, but I also have to tell her, hey, you had your opportunity to raise your child. Now I got her. But my child is our child.
Okay.
How do you rein in your mom?
How do I reel her in?
Yeah, because that one,
carefully.
That to me would be harder than the in-laws. I mean, the in-laws.
You know, to be honest.
I think it's pretty
easy for me to reel in my mother because I pull it to the side. I never address an issue in front of somebody else. I pull my mama to the side. I don't talk to my mother and my wife in the same room. I pull them all to the side or I talk to them over the phone and let them know what they did wrong and what I'm not going to tolerate because this is my wife.
Do you have time to holler at my mom for about an hour?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, my mother taught us that. She taught us to be respectful and to express your opinion. And it didn't eliminate her. So we were raised to tell our parents that.
Agreed. But the thing will be now, and I don't know if it's just something with them getting older, possibly, that it's not necessarily that they feel that they can do it better than you. They just feel like they should be able to do it also. So it doesn't become, you know, it's my child and my husband's child. It's our child. It's the family's child. So everybody has a say. And even with me saying, you know, I don't want my child to do that or have that or see that or be a part of that. You know, she's like, well, you were fine with it. You know, I let you do or have or see, and you came out fine. So they should be able to do the same thing.
Now, don't get me wrong. I agree with the village concept. I agree with the fact that we have aunts, uncles that you should respect as your aunts and uncles. You're not going to go around calling them by their first names and things of that nature. I agree to those things. I agree that when I'm outside of my child's reach, that I expect that they're going to discipline my child the way I would.
Okay.
I don't know. You gotta be careful,
though. You can't tell all your family members.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful when you say that, man.
Yeah. Well, we wanna thank our callers this evening. We wanna thank Joy and we wanna thank Tony.
Appreciate you
for calling in and sharing with us. We appreciate you here at Amongst Friends. Put smiles on our face and we enjoy. But at this time, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to pull this great conversation to a close. We want to thank everyone kindly, our listeners, Facebook group members, callers, texters. We want to thank you for being a part of Amongst Friends radio show. Again, please join us next week. We head 9. We fine as wine. We do what we do. For the love of you.
Is that some old Ashley Brothers? What did you just go Ashley Brothers on this man?
No.
Oh my
goodness. I just made that up.
That was Ashley Brothers 1975, y'all. Serious. That's some copyright infringement, y'all.
Oh. Now you get me in trouble. Oh, my goodness. All right, boys and girls, we want to thank you for, again, like I said, we want to thank you for joining us. Hopefully the conversation was overarching with problems and, as well, overarching with possible solutions. If you are having problems with your in-laws, I want to thank my cohorts in crime. I want to thank Joe. I want to thank Q. I want to thank Deidre. I want to thank Heather for assisting this youth, making it a blissful product of our minds.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
What?
I just want to know. I just want to know how. I just want to talk about Deidre's cookie.